Turn your Bibles, if you would. We are going to be in the book of James. The book of James. And as you're turning there, quick question. Why should you smear peanut butter all over the highway? Because it goes great with traffic jam. Now, pay attention. Pay attention to this one. A man called his twin brother from prison. He said, "Hey, bro, remember when we were younger and we used to finish each other's sentences?" Good brothers, right? Amen. So last week, actually the week before last, we began to consider, what does it look like when we live a life that puts faith into practice? Our faith into practice. But before we can answer that, we needed to establish a couple of biblical truths that occur the very moment that we receive Jesus Christ into our heart and we get saved. So the first thing we had to consider was our eternal inheritance. Our eternal inheritance. That's our position in Christ. It's something that we get the very moment of salvation, but it's not something we experience until later. Amen? It's ours, but we won't experience till later. That is our eternal inheritance. It never changes. Why? Because we are eternally secure in God's almighty hands. Amen? Our eternal inheritance. The second truth that we have to understand is our daily experiences. That's our practice in Christ. So our eternal inheritance is our position in Christ, and our daily experiences, that's our practice in Christ. It's our daily walk with God, and all the experiences along the way. Now, although sin has no effect on our eternal inheritance, remember, that can't change. That is secure in Almighty God's hands. We have to understand that sin will hinder our fellowship with God in our daily walk, our daily experiences. Amen? So, we talked about, from cover to cover, the Bible has two prominent themes. The first is the way to God. Amen? First theme is the way to God. Now, that's directed to those who are lost, those who are undone without Christ, those who are unsaved. The second prominent theme is the walk with God. Amen? So we have the way to God, and the second theme is the walk with God. And that one, the second one, is directed to every born-again believer. Now, surprisingly, at least to me, the Bible references the believer's walk with God a lot more than it does the way to God. Amen? And this is the case with the book of James as well. It centers primarily with one question. If we say that we believe like we should, then why do we behave like we shouldn't? Amen? That is the main question posed to us in the book of James. If we say that we believe like we should, why do we behave like we shouldn't? Amen? And as we noted a couple weeks ago, the book of James was written by the half-brother of Christ. Now, Jesus had other brothers and sisters. Brothers are named, the sisters are not in the Bible. And James is one of his half-brothers. Now, we need to understand that James nor his brothers believed that Jesus was Messiah. They didn't believe that he was the Savior that he claimed to be. And this was true throughout his earthly ministry. This was true at his crucifixion. And this was true right after his resurrection. James's heart wasn't changed until Jesus came to him face to face, one on one. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 15:7. After that, after his resurrection, Jesus was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Amen? And this is exactly how Jesus comes to all of us, one on one. Amen? He tenderly seeks us out, meeting us right where we are, right in the middle of our sins. And when he does, our decision at that very moment about what we will do with him, what we will do with Christ, will determine our eternal destiny. Will we accept him? Believe that he is who he says he is? Believe that he is who the Word of God says he is? Receive him as personal Savior? Or we choose just to keep living our life apart from him and reject him? But we need to understand that is the most important decision we will ever make in our lives. What will we do with Christ? Accept him and experience the joys of salvation, or reject him and have a life sentence and eternity in hell? So as I stated a couple weeks ago, the book of James, again, is directed towards those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, those who wear the banner of Christian. I don't know about you, but I think too many people use that title a little loosely. Amen? We need to understand when we say that we are a Christian, that word Christians means Christ-like. Of Christ. Amen? We need to hold that banner tight and understand exactly what we're saying. The book of James is very straightforward. And in fact, it's in your face at times. It attacks any and all traces of counterfeit Christianity. And if it's found, it grabs us by the shoulders, it looks us right in the eyes, and it says, stop it. You know better. Amen? Again, it's written to the believer. This was quite a calling that God's Holy Spirit put on this man named James. But through God's strength, he was up to that calling. Amen? So let's pick up back in God's Word. Let's go to James, and we'll pick up right in verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. So right here in verse 1, we see that James identifies himself as what? As a bondservant of God and a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as the half-brother of Christ, does he? That'd be pretty good title, wouldn't it? Amen? Most of us in our flesh, we tag that along, you know. On our business card at the bottom, it'd have half-brother of Christ right on there. That's our title. But James doesn't. He simply identifies himself as a bondservant of Christ. Why? Simply put, he understood that his relationship with Christ was no longer in the physical, but was now in the spiritual. Amen? It was not through his mother Mary, but through his Father in heaven and through his grace. Let's look at verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It doesn't sound like good advice, does it? Count it all joy when we're going through it. But it is. Amen? You have to understand, we kind of set the context a couple weeks ago that during this time, Christians were under tremendous persecution. So what he's talking about is count it joy if you're persecuted for your faith in Christ. Amen? But I want to concentrate on that second word, brethren. He makes it clear who this book is directed to. Amen? It's directed to that born-again believer in Christ. In fact, not just chapter 1, but chapter 2 and chapter 3, they all start out with that same phrase, my brethren. Amen? What we need to understand is that brethren or brother or sister is a special title designated for those in the family of God. And that term brethren or brother is found all throughout the book of James. All five chapters. Now, in the first half of this message a couple weeks ago, we focused on James himself, the one that the Holy Spirit chose to be the writer of this book, the one that the Holy Spirit inspired to write this book. But this morning, I want us to focus on to whom this book was written to. Amen? We see that we have to go back to verse 1. James identifies himself, who he is, bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So the book of James was primarily written and directed to who? The Jewish people. Amen? To the 12 tribes, the Jewish people. James, a Jew himself, was writing to all the other Jewish believers that were scattered all over. And why were they scattered? Again, this was a time of great persecution. They lived under Claudius's reign and his rule. And he would chase down these Christians and he would drive them out wherever they chose to settle. And as a Jew, they were mocked, they were belittled. They were never accepted wherever they tried to settle. They were scattered abroad without any roots. A life without roots is a life of misery. Amen? And as directed by God's Holy Spirit, James was writing to them to say this, stop it. You know better. You know who you are in Jesus Christ. You have roots. Amen? They were claiming Christ with their lips, but they were living after the world. He was saying, if your faith is genuine, then your works need to be real. Amen? Now, many of them did this out of fear. They feared for their lives. They feared for the lives of their family. So they chose to be closet Christians. But what were they saying about their faith? That they feared man more than God. Amen? It's a lesson we all need to learn. Genuine faith produces genuine works in Christ. Amen? So I want to note something here. In each of the books of the New Testament, each book contains a main section, it might be a main chapter even, that drives home the main topic of that book. For the book of James, that chapter is chapter 2. Let's turn there real quick, skip down to verse 14. James 2:14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? Can faith save him? Now, this is probably one of the most debated pieces of scripture in the Bible, but it doesn't need to be. But this one verse sums up the book of James. Amen? Now, what we need to understand is that he's not teaching salvation through works here. Amen? People twist that last part. Can faith save him? He's not teaching salvation through works. What he's teaching is that true and genuine salvation will produce good works. It will produce good deeds. Amen? Again, as we touched on, he's already taken for granted that as a believer, We already know, we already understand that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He's taking for granted that we already know that our salvation is not of works, lest any of us should boast. Amen? He's writing this to the true believer that already knows this. So we have to understand that. What he's saying is that faith is the root and our works is the fruit. Amen? Faith is the root, our works is the fruit. He's putting it out there. He says, look, if we've got the root, then let's see the fruit. Amen? Skip down to verse 15. He said, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Hits home, doesn't it? What does it profit? Absolutely nothing. Because at that point, those are just empty words that anybody could say. You don't have to be a Christian to say those words, do you? Amen? But as a believer with genuine faith, we ought to be moved to the point of action. We ought to be moved to the point of doing something about that need and not just saying words. Empty words. Amen? Now look at verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. This book will strike deep into our heart, amen? And it should. Yes, it's absolutely full of encouragement, there's no doubt. But it will also insult our daily walk if it is not 100% genuine and in step with God's word and his will for our life. Amen? Let's look at how he chooses to close chapter 2. Skip down to verse 26. Look at how God chooses to close this chapter. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. He's coming right at us, looking us right in the eyes, and he's saying, are you willing to accept this truth? Our daily blessings are not linked to whether we believe right. Our daily blessings are linked to whether we behave right. Amen? Again, we're not talking about our eternal inheritance. We're talking about our daily experiences, our daily walk with God. Our daily blessings are not linked to whether we believe right. They're linked to whether we behave right. Amen? How many blessings have we forfeited because we chose to walk after the flesh? Because we chose to walk after our own will instead of God's will? Our blessings are linked to our works for the kingdom. Amen? What we do for others in the name of Christ. So I want to kind of close our study by kind of looking at an overview of this book of James. And I encourage all of you to go back and read. It's only five chapters, five quick chapters, and I want to break down the main themes in the book of James. The first theme is found right here in chapter 1 that we've been looking at. And that first theme is, when our faith is stretched, it does not break, but instead it produces genuine works, genuine fruit. Genuine faith stretches, but phony faith breaks. Amen? And God gives us three examples in this first chapter. The first is through the trials of life. Amen? Through the trials, our faith is stretched. Secondly, it's also stretched through temptations. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And thirdly, through the presentation of Scripture. When presented to the true believer, we respond to it. Amen? It doesn't just go in one ear and out the other. We don't just nod our head, yeah, that's a nice piece of Scripture, right? When we are presented with the Scripture, when we are presented with the Word of God, we respond to it. And bottom line, in these three examples, if we walk after God's Holy Spirit, then we're going to see the fruits and the works of our hands because of the love that we have for Christ. But if we walk after the flesh, we're going to fail and not produce any fruit. Then we move into chapter 2 for the second main theme. And that is when our faith is pressed, it doesn't break, but instead produces genuine love. And God gives us two great examples. The first is that of Abraham offering up his son Isaac. The second is Rahab the harlot and how she took in and how she helped those messengers, those spies. Our faith, when pressed, produces genuine love. The third main theme goes in chapters 3 and 4. When our faith is expressed, we have control and humility. And this deals with three main areas of our life. And the first one is a biggie. First one is our tongue. Amen? The words that we say. We have to beware of its poison, God says. Put a bridle over it if we can't control it. Amen? The second is concerned with true wisdom. That we understand that true wisdom comes from God Himself through His Holy Spirit. Amen? And the third is our desires. We ought not to say, I want, but instead, I want what God has planned for me. Amen? Make sure our heart is in tune with God's heart. And the last main point that the book of James brings out, the fourth theme, is found in chapter 5. When our faith is distressed, we are to be patient and persevere. Amen? So as a whole, we need to understand that this book deals with walking the walk. It's not concerned with talking the talk, because talk is just empty words. Amen? Unless it's followed up with action. The book of James is all about walking the walk. It's not about finding the way. It's about living the life. And God is saying, look, I'm looking for a few good men. Amen? Something He said in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22:30. God says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall, who would stand in the gap before men on my behalf and on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Let's not make the same mistake. Let's not have the same result. Let's stand up and be counted. Let's put our faith in action. Let's walk the walk and serve those around us. We are to take it from the seats to the streets. Amen? Put our faith into practice.